Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the body, what it means to be the church, and then the body of Christ. And just want to bring a few things in to one message this morning in regards to what God is saying to us and what he's doing in our lives at the moment. So I just want to do a quick recap for a moment. Just in Genesis 12, we looked at this last week. One of the questions that I asked was, when did the church actually begin? And if we kind of think about the church being a called out or a sent out people, or a called out people, a people set apart, then God, when he spoke to Abraham in chapter 12, really in terms of God's mind, of people being called out and sent out for his purposes, began here, where in the first few verses, the Lord says to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God was calling Abraham out, but he wasn't just calling one person out. He was calling a people into being at that moment. And for us now, a few thousand years later, we are part of the called out people, and we are part of the fruit of that word that God gave Abraham several thousand years ago. So if you want to know where you are in the Bible, one of the places you're in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through you. So how many of you are blessed? Just turn to the person next and say, you're in the Bible. Did you know you were in Genesis chapter 12? God knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He knew when he spoke to Abraham, they included you at that moment. That's awesome, isn't it? He called you by name, but he didn't call you by name once you were alive. He called you by name before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Before even the earth was created and formed, he called you by name. Isn't that awesome? That you're not a mistake. You're not here by accident. God is in control. He's in charge. He knows all things from the beginning to the end. And so there's a called out people, a people set apart. And then we looked a little bit at Nehemiah, which we're going to come back to again this week. And then we looked in Matthew 6, where Jesus begins to teach the guys how to pray, the disciples following him. And he starts off with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he begins with relationship. And then he goes on in the next verse to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And so the purpose, the ultimate purpose of the church, one is to know God and be in relationship with him. And in that relationship with God, it is then for God to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we looked at Jacob having an encounter with God. And Jen actually started the meeting with this, that when Jacob came to a place to rest and God gave him that vision of heaven being opened and angels ascending and descending, he realized that it wasn't just a certain place, but it was an awesome place, that it was actually the house of God. Why? Because that's where the presence of God was being revealed to him. So we are a house of God individually and together. Why? Because we carry the presence of God. Because God has filled us with himself, therefore we are presence carriers of who God is. So wherever we go, we take the presence of God. But we take more than the presence of God with us, just that maybe a sense or a feeling or the reality of who he is. We also take a kingdom with us wherever we go. Because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven isn't over there or over here, but the kingdom of heaven is within you. So wherever we go, we take the kingdom of heaven. We take the kingdom of God. Why? Because God has not just put a gospel of salvation into our lives. He's not just saved you from sin. He's also put his kingdom on the inside of you, and that kingdom life is growing up on the inside of you. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven is like a seed, and that seed is put within you, and as it grows, it becomes a tree, and even the birds of the air come and perch on that tree. So what does that suggest? That suggests that in the life of God's kingdom that is growing up in you, that others are going to come and receive of that kingdom life. That kingdom life is not just for you and for me, but God wants others to receive of that kingdom life because of that life that is growing in us, that is working in us and being released through us. So there's a lot that we're throwing in this morning into one short message. God's called a people out thousands of years ago. We are part of those people that are called out, those set apart people. God wants to understand that we're not just set apart to be saved as individuals, but we're called out to be a kingdom people that God brings together as the church. In Matthew 16, Jesus begins to describe to the disciples what this is all about. He begins to take the meaning of them following him more than just a revelation that he is the Christ in chapter 16. He begins to say, on that revelation, Peter, that you had, that I'm the Christ, that I'm the bedrock, on that bedrock, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build this set apart people. I'm going to build this people that are like a gateway, this awesome place, not a certain place, but an awesome place, like a gateway of heaven to earth. I'm going to build this people, this kingdom people, on this bedrock. And this kingdom people are going to be a gateway for what has been released in heaven to be released on earth. It moves it beyond just a little bit of salvation for you and me from God. God wants us to understand we're part of this amazing kingdom that has this amazing gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Part of the gospel of the kingdom is to save men and women, people just like you and me. But also God wants his kingdom to influence and affect every sphere of life, every aspect of life out there. And he does that through a kingdom people that are living in the good of their salvation. They're living in the fullness of relationship with him. They're living in the might and the power of who he is. But that might and power flows through the intimacy that you and I have with God, in relationship with him. And in the intimacy of that relationship, we hear the heartbeat of God. You know, when you spend time with Jesus, I don't know what you find, but God speaks words because he is the word and he speaks his word. But at the same time, you know, when he speaks his word, you begin to experience him as he speaks to you. You begin to encounter him. So he doesn't just speak his word. When he speaks his word, he's revealing who he is to you and to me when he speaks. And when he speaks, you then begin to experience him or encounter him, and you begin to experience the reality of his word when he speaks to you. Anybody find that? Is it just me? So we have we're getting used to having three chairs here, aren't we? And just to give us a quick reminder, this one is when you don't know Jesus and you're separated from God. This one is the chair of the great rest, living in the great rest of the great I am. And then this one is really when we live soulish. We try to live in our own strength. We move out of that rest in God and trusting in God and being reliant on God and being kept by God. And we then slide across and we move into this one because for whatever reason, we think we can handle this on our own. Or we think we know better. Or there's a fear that overtakes us and we give in to that fear. Or we allow the enemy to come in and affect us, take us out or whatever. And we slide into trying to do things in our own strength. Or fear takes over or whatever in that respect. But when we're living in this one, we're totally separated from relationship with God. And as we heard a few weeks back, that's not God's intention for any person to stay here. But God's heart and intention is for every person to not be here, but to be rescued out of how God sees our lives. At this moment, when we're living here, we're in captivity. It's funny, you know, when you don't know God, you think you're free. And when you look at a Christian and their life, you think, well, you're not free because you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. And so many people who don't know God think they're living in freedom because I can do whatever I want, when I want. But the funny thing is, everybody that doesn't know God, everybody does the same thing. Everybody thinks they're free, but they're not, because what they end up doing is doing the same as everybody else. Because there's a conforming to what the Bible talks about is the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world makes everybody conform to a pattern of behavior and thinking and lifestyle that keeps them separated from God. And God never intended that. What God wants for you and I, for every person, is to know Him, to know true freedom. To know true peace, to know true health and liberty and hope and purpose and destiny in your life. And we know that Jesus bridged the gap between us not knowing God and then coming into the great rest, coming into relationship with God, coming into an intimacy with God. And Jesus bridged the gap on the cross and made it possible so that we could cross over from what is spiritual death, which is separation from God, to come into the spiritual life, into the purpose that God has created us to be, to know and to have relationship with Him. So Jesus bridged that gap. And when you respond to the amazing goodness of God, who He is, and wanting to bring us into relationship with Him as our Creator and as our Father, when you respond and you say, God, I want to come across this gap, I want to come across this divide, because of what Jesus has done, it's possible to come before God and say, God, I want to bow before You. I want to surrender everything. I want to fully give everything of who I am to You. I want to lay my life down. I know I need to be forgiven. I ask You to forgive me and cleanse me of every sin. But more than that, I don't just want You to save me from my sin. I want You to become Lord of my life. So I surrender everything, my life, my mind, my emotions, my will, my body, my heart. I surrender my marriage, my family, my kids, my home, my money, everything that I have, job, whatever it might be, God, I surrender. Because that's what actually knowing God is, isn't it? It's full surrender. So you move from separation into total acceptance. Wow, just think about that. Here, we are completely unacceptable to God. And then in a few moments, a few minutes, however long it takes to really pray through, respond to God, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever it takes to really surrender everything. Might take a lifetime to walk in it, but there's that heart. Because this is a walk with God. This is a walk of surrender, you know. So none of us are perfect. Times we're not going to get it right, but we're seeking to walk surrendered. See, in this moment, there's total surrender, total well-being. Now, as far as the devil's concerned, he likes it when you stay here because he's got control over your life. When you come here, you're now dangerous to his kingdom. Over there, you're no threat to him. Here, you become red alert to him. Because suddenly you've found the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God rules and reigns in your life. You have the kingdom of heaven, you have the kingdom of life in you, you have God in you, ruling and reigning. Suddenly, his kingdom, the enemy's kingdom, is on red alert because somebody's come alive to Christ. Somebody's having a revelation of who God is in their life. Not just on their own, but they're also having a revelation of what they've been saved into. That they've been saved into the body of Christ. They've been saved into what God calls the church, a set apart people. The people that he set apart from the world, he set apart from all the stuff that kept us separated from God. And he's brought us into this amazing thing called the body of Christ, his bride. And the devil realizes that when these people here who are living in the great rest, living surrendered to who God is, and they understand that they're saved together to be the body of Christ, to be the church that God has called them to be a gate from heaven to earth, and to believe who they are, totally accepted in the Beloved. The devil's like, man, this is dangerous. I've got to take them out. I've got to pick them off. I've got to ruin their lives. I've got to get back at them. And the enemy summons the forces of whatever he has at his disposal. I was with somebody yesterday, a friend of mine in the church, and we were going through some of this stuff. And he said something brilliant. He said, you know, the devil's on a budget. The devil's only got finite resources, but we're in the one who has unlimited resource. And the devil's trying to shuffle his budget around to try and work out with the resources he does. How can I take this out? How can I take them out? How can I take... But yet, in Christ, in God, we have unlimited resources. And as not just as individuals, but together as the body, as we live and move and have our being in God together, and we're living in the great rest together, in the great I am, then the enemy's limited resources, his budget. And he's in deficit. He's in the red in more ways than one. He's only got finite resources. What does it look like, the church, living in the great rest? A kingdom people. Living in that total acceptance. Being led by the Holy Spirit moment by moment. What does that look like in terms of overcoming? In terms of advance, in terms of going forward, in terms of lives being impacted, in terms of communities being impacted. What does that look like? We haven't got time to turn to all the scriptures, but in Nehemiah, you know, when the beginning of the book there where he hears about Jerusalem, the walls being broken down and the gates being burned, he begins to pray and begins to intercede. God speaks to him to go and rebuild it. He gets permission from the king that he was serving to go. And he got permission to get some supplies and everything. And he arrived and he looked over the scene. It didn't look good, but he mobilized the people. And last week, somebody in the congregation came up to me afterwards and said, it's amazing, isn't it, in Nehemiah, where they took the old broken down walls and stones and they began to rebuild them and set in place. And it's amazing how God takes broken lives like you and me. And he begins to build something awesome with those broken lives. And they said to me, you know, when you just get straight bricks that have got straight edges and all of that, you can put them together in a wall and it has a certain strength, but it's quite easy to break through and push through. But when you take old stones with all kinds of different shapes and sizes, different kinds of characteristics, and you begin to build those and fit them in and join them together, that wall is a lot stronger and is a lot more lasting. It might take longer to build, because you're building people of different shapes and sizes. And that's not just a physical, that's a personality, character. That's who we are as a peculiar people. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you're peculiar. That's not your name, by the way. Peculiar. Sounds like a flower, doesn't it? Have you seen those peculiars over in the garden over there? Yeah, chop them down, I don't know. Peculiars. Put a goal up instead, we can play football and all of that. But you know that they described, you know, when you build a wall of all different shapes and sizes, you know, when you look at old rocks and you build them together, form the strength, the character, the longevity, you know, that God builds. And he takes people like you and I that were broken. And he brings us together and forms us into this amazing body of people. And as they began to build these walls, the enemy, you know, the Sanballat and his mates, they came against them all the time. And so what does the enemy seek to do in our life? He constantly seeks to move us from the great rest into a place of soulishness or trying to do things in our own strength. The enemy has loads of tactics, plans. Now, we know this. We've heard this over the last few weeks in different ways. But there's one thing here in a message, there's another thing, live in it. And I said to the Lord this morning, I said, God, a lot I'm going to say is the same as the last few weeks. And God said, yeah, but how many times do I have to speak to you before you live it? So we all want something fresh every week, don't we? Absolutely. But at the same time, God's fresh word every week might be the same one for a while. Because God's word is fresh every time we hear it. And God speaks and says, guys, look, I'm speaking to you. I'm knocking on your door here. I'm not knocking on your heart here. Come on. Because of what it means and what it looks like. The enemy seeks to take us out of living in the fullness. Oh, I just want to read something. I was reading something the other day and on a website. A guy was, it was a kind of preach I was reading. And I just read this. And this is, we know this on one level, but just the way he put it is brilliant, right? This is a, since God is a spirit and he deals with me on the basis of who I am in the spirit, this has changed everything. I now worship God based on who I am in the spirit and not who I am in my flesh or when I'm in my soulish life. Okay? How I act or feel. I now understand how our holy God can truly love me. Because in my born-again spirit or born-again state, I am totally righteous and holy. My spirit, who I am now in Christ, is his workmanship. I've discovered that I'm redeemed from the law, because the law, not the law of, you know, you can't go, you break the speed limit, not that law, the law of the Old Testament, because the law wasn't made for a righteous man. The law was given to show us our need for salvation, but it could not save us. But what the law couldn't do, Jesus did. And I'm now the righteousness of God in Christ. This then entitles me to everything of who God is and everything that he has. I have his authority to use, and to the degree that I've done this, I've experienced miraculous results. So on and so on. And then he goes on into other things. The devil hates you and me. He hates what we've just read. Because the devil knows if we're living here, he cannot touch us. When we live in who Christ is, when we live knowing that God is working in you in regards to who you are and who I am in Christ. And the devil knows in this moment he cannot touch us. He cannot take us out. It's like I have nothing in my budget that can take somebody out who's living in the great rest. There's nothing in my budget that can take down a church if they're living in the great rest. They're seeking to live surrendered, moment by moment, listening to God, walking with him, wanting to follow him, move with him, and together as a body, live in the great rest. So what does he try and do? He tries to seduce. If I can just entice, seduce. If I can deceive. If I can just pop a thought in. Because he has no weapons formed against us that can prosper. No weapon can stand against us. So he tries to woo us away. He tries to... So what is he trying to do? Undermine the truth. So you're not really acceptable because, yeah, you might be living in the great rest and God might treat you as who you are in Christ. But look at your performance. Look at the way you're living. You're not really... You've still got an attitude there. You've still got it there. You're not really that worthy. Look at the way you spoke to them. Look at the things that's really going on in your head there. Look what's going on in your heart over there. Look at the way you treated them. Look at the way you did that. You know, you don't feel like you're really in there, do you? You really feel pretty naff today. Stuff's not going well, is it? Stuff's not going good. Or he'll mobilise somebody else, sometimes another Christian, to come and have a little dig at you, a little go at you, a little this or that or the other at you that makes you feel a bit down, that makes you feel a bit... And before you know where you are, he just tries to, if I can, I can just get my fishing hook in them somehow and bring them over here. And then you just feel a bit, oh, you know, what's going on? Where's God in it all? What's going on? Now, we've been through some of this already. And how do we come back to God? Surrender. God, forgive me. I just took my eye off the ball. I listened to the enemy. I listened to that. I listened to this. I went with my feelings. So, God, I want to come right back in to the great rest, right into that place of trust. Last week, we used an illustration where we had 10 people in a circle. And what we didn't do is get them all to join their arms together. And we had a whole bunch of people in a line. And if in a line, you know, it's going to be a lot easier to knock a line over and pull it about and all of that. And if somebody in the line disengages and they sort of come out, it's easy. The line then breaks. The wall is easy to penetrate. Whereas in a circle, when we're linked together, arm in arm, and if we're in a circle and we're seeking to live in the great rest, man, it's not easy to take people out. When we're living in a circle and not in rows, as we talked about last week, there's a oneness, there's a unity, there's a power, there's a strength. Why? Because it's relationship. We can look at one another. We can relate to each other. We can encourage each other. And it's a lot harder to be taken out in that environment because we're interlocked. We're in a circle. And in a circle, it's about relationship and it's about iron sharpens iron. In a row, we're all just looking out and it's easy to be taken out. But living in a circle means you have to open up your life. You have to become vulnerable. And just in the last few minutes, I've got one or two people that have just asked if they can give a bit of testimony this week. So, Marielle, do you want to just quickly run up where you are? Let's welcome Marielle to the stage. Do you want to sit in that one? Marielle is just going to give a little story about... she's involved in two small groups. Not just one, but two. And so she's going to give a little bit of a testimony. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit. This chair is a great rest chair as well, okay? So I'm going to sit in a great rest together. So, Marielle, just tell us a little bit about the small group you're in and why you love it, what God's been doing.
Yep. I'm in Radiance,
okay,
which is for single parents. And I'm also in Walk Your Talk, which is... it's ideally set up for sort of new Christians, but we've also got a real variety of people who have been Christians for years, who I still feel I'm quite new.
Yeah.
It's only been about 3-4 years. And with Radiance, you know, we encourage each other, we support each other, we're single parents, we're all in the same boat. We've all been bruised, we've all been pretty battered, we've all been felt like we're worthless. And it's just to be with another group of ladies who are so beautiful, who are so encouraging, who just, we just have a lovely time together. Just to look at the Word together, to... recently we talked about God's love, and I just really felt God saying to me, that He wants me to share, is that I'm in the most amazing love story that Hollywood cannot match.
Right.
You know, Hollywood cannot match this on screen. I am in the amazing love story with God, and I'm the lead actress, I'm a princess, I'm His bride, and the last 6 months especially, being in these small groups has really helped because my confidence has blossomed.
Yeah.
I've really been learning obedience. God told me to lose weight and get healthy.
Okay.
I've lost nearly 2 stone. Get in.
yes. Brilliant.
Good. And all the ladies in this group, and even ladies in this church have come up to me who I've never spoken to in my life before, and I've actually said, wow, you're looking amazing. And that's like, oh, thank you. So I really appreciate that. But just reminding, I feel like I am, the last 6 months I have blossomed, and I'm just so grateful for the ladies in the groups that I'm in, because... on a Tuesday night, the Walk Your Talk group meet at mine.
Yeah.
So as a single parent, I can't get out in the evening. So for them to come to my house, for me to host it, is awesome. And just, we have a laugh. I have to be honest. Michelle Granger, you are just amazing. The stories she has, we have such a giggle. But then we really talk about God. We encourage and inspire each other. And with Radiance, you know, it's all about talking, encouraging, and just sharing life and just sharing love. And just really feel that for me personally, just to know how much God loves me and to be encouraged and just to encourage you all that you are in the greatest love story ever, ever. Nothing can compare with it. And I'm just so blessed for that, and I'm just reminded that I might be on my own, and I know that's not going to be forever, but it's me and my children, but I'm not on my own, because God is with me every step of the way, encouraging me, teaching me, guiding me, loving me, and I'm just so grateful. Brilliant. I'm just so grateful. And
that's
I love
so
it.
Good. Yeah.
I love it.
Brilliant.
Great.
Thanks, mate. That's brilliant.
Come on, let's give Marielle massive encouragement. It's brilliant. Clive. Best name in the world. Let's welcome Clive up, shall we? Sit where you belong, mate. How you doing, right?
Well, thank you.
Clive's slightly bigger than me, so the fact we're sitting down, you know, is anyway, little and large, yeah? Brilliant. How you doing? Doing
well,
good.
Well, thank you.
Mate, just tell us about the small group you're in and what God's been doing in you.
I've been in the men's small group. We've been looking at lots of relationships between God, between family, between work colleagues and the Word of God, and it's been helping us very much with being able to talk to people, being able to listen to people, and a lot of the things that's been in this course that we've been on has helped me and other people that have been on the course. It's making us so open, and we respect one another, and that's been brought out with what we've been doing in the course and what we've been doing in our families, in our relationships with other people, our family, our relationships with God. It's just been wonderful.
Brilliant. So has that affected your marriage then?
Yes. It's made things a lot better. And my relationship with my children as well.
Brilliant. Right. So there's a real practical outworking
there
of what's been happening.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Very much so.
Yeah. What would you say has actually happened in you personally?
Just more calmness, yeah. Being able to listen more. It's one of the things that's actually in this course, one of the sections is all about listening. And if you can listen like you're listening to God, you're listening to your children, you're listening to your wife, you're listening to your colleagues at work, it makes things so much easier.
Right, okay. And then listening to God as well, is that also...
Yeah, that helps, because that helps enormously.
Yeah.
It saves me from being there.
Right.
To come in here.
Right, yeah.
Men were stupid at times, and very stupid at times. We think we can be there at all times, but...
Doesn't work, does it?
Doesn't work. No. You've got to be here.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to listen to God and do as you're told instead of doing what you think is better.
Right, right.
Okay.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Clive. Cheers, buddy.
Just one last verse, and then we're going to... If you want to stand, actually, for this, and then we can just pray this morning... Obviously, today is another sign-up Sunday for small groups, and today, really, we've been talking about being the body in different ways and the importance of that, walking together in that and being in relationship with those that are in the body. But in Luke chapter 12, there's a part where Jesus is speaking here from verse 22 onwards, and he's talking about not worrying. And don't worry about today, don't worry about what you need, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, all of that kind of stuff. And what we've been hearing recently is if we live in the great rest, if it's a moment by moment walk and relationship with God, then I don't have to worry about anything. Because if it's a moment by moment relationship and I'm saying I trust you, then we're saying that, God, you look after me, you keep me, you have everything already planned out for me, so I don't have to worry about tomorrow, or even today, but tomorrow, what's going to happen next. And he is speaking about that here. And he says, consider how the lilies grow. They don't labour or spin. Yet even Solomon, in all his splendour, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about that, for the pagans run after all these things. But your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well. It's interesting he speaks about not worrying, about trusting God. What's he basically saying? Live in the great rest. Live in that moment-by-moment relationship of trust. But what does that then, what does he then follow on with in verse 35? Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Amazing. When you're living in the great rest, what are you doing? You're dressed, ready for service, with your lamps full of oil burning. We're living ready in this place. God says this, we can move. God says that, we can move. God says the other, we can move. When we are living over here, there's things that can't happen with God because we're not in the right place for those things to happen. God won't drag us along in this chair saying, well, I'll get you there by hook or by crook anyway, whether you want to come or not, you know, because God doesn't invade your will, does he? And so that's why we want to live with our lamps, our lives full of oil with the Holy Spirit, and we want to be alive and alight all the time, so that whenever God knocks, whenever he speaks, whatever he says, we're ready, we're available, we're there. But then what happens when we live in this way? It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. Now, this blows me away, right? If we live in the great rest, okay, if we're living with our lamps full, we're living with them burning, we're living ready, we're living responsive, we're living surrendered, that's how we're seeking to live, surrendered moment by moment, what then happens? It then says the master dresses himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. Man, I don't know if that blows you away, but when you're living in the... Sorry, I have to keep sitting down. When you're living in this way, the word says that God then comes and serves you and me. That's amazing. He serves us in that. What does that mean? It means he continues to refine us. He continues to make us more like him. He continues to reveal who he is. He continues to lead us and show us. He continues to resource us all the time. Why? He serves us. He serves us. He gives. He blesses. What, God is awesome, isn't he? Yeah. But understand this. If the owner of the house known what hour the thief was going to come, he would not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I don't think that's talking about, is he going to come tonight? There's a day and an hour. Things are getting darker. There's a sense of a quickening, acceleration of what God's doing. I think there's a trumpet sound from God's throne saying, hey, church, come on. It's time to live in this place. It's not that there isn't time to mess about with stuff anymore. There's not time to do this, that, or the other. There's a quickening. There's an acceleration. Come on, guys. It's about living close with me, walking with me, intimate with me, listening to me, responding to me, move with me, not just individuals, but together as a body of people, because there's stuff that I want to do. There's things that need to happen, but I want a church. I need a church that's living moment by moment with me. In that moment by moment, what happens? Open heaven. Heavens get released on earth. There's breakthroughs. There's things that take place. There's things that are released. I believe it's right for some of you this morning. I know time's gone again this week, but I believe it's time this morning for some of you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So we want to give a few moments for anybody that's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for you and see God just fill you and baptize you with his Spirit this morning. And just activate his life in you in a fresh way. But let's just take a couple of moments to, before we have sign-ups and everything else, let's just take a couple of moments. Firstly, just thank the Lord that you're a brick in the wall. Not like the old song said, but you're a brick in this wall. God has formed you. He's made you who you are, the shape you are, as a person, the character, and all of that that he's given you. He's building you in to something that's impenetrable. He's building you in arm with others in the body. That's partly what small groups are all about. Living open, living arm in arm. Yes, we can be a big number, but we've got to find that relationship with others within that, that we're moving together. Yes, it's relational, but also there's purpose in that. Every small group has some kind of purpose. Maybe you just need to say this morning, God, I want to surrender in a fresh way to the body. Yes, to him, but also to the body. Father, I want to open up my life in a fresh way in the body. I want to continue to cultivate living in the great rest. And in that, there is no fear. His perfect love casts out all fear. In the great rest, you encounter his love. That's what Marielle was saying. I'm in a love story and I'm the lead actress. I'm the princess. I'm the right at the heart of it. Because she's having a revelation of who God is. She's been wooed. She's been consumed. She's been smitten with who he is. It's found in that place. Some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit this morning. If you do, I just want you to quickly come down the front. If you know you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, God wants to just baptize you. We're going to pray for you. God wants to release his spirit into your life. Let's not take our time. If you can be just really quick, just to come down the front. Anybody that's never been baptized in the Spirit this morning, if we could have the band back on stage, that'd be great. Do you want to just come right down the front? Brilliant. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm just going to pray with these guys. And while we do that, we're just going to worship for a few minutes. While we worship, we're going to give to the Lord. We're going to return our tithes and just give any offerings while we worship the Lord. But while we're doing that, I just want you to worship him and say, Father, I surrender. You are Lord. You are God. You are King. I surrender to you afresh this morning. I surrender my life, my mind, my emotions, my will, my body. I surrender who I am. I surrender if you're married, my marriage. If you've got kids, surrender them. Your home, cars, money, everything you have. Just, God, I want to live moment by moment with you, which is a surrender, a life of being surrendered. So as we worship, let's give. Because part of returning to the Lord, saying this is yours, the tithe, it belongs to him. Saying, God, it's yours, it's not mine. Whatever you might want to give, Father, this is yours anyway, because everything I have is yours. Let's just begin to worship him, shall we? Just begin to lift your voice and just begin to worship him. But as you're doing it, it's like, Father, I surrender afresh to you this morning.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.